We do have a thought upon our heart this morning, and I told you last week that the Lord had laid kind of a theme on our heart, and it was beatings and blessings. We've got the beatings out of our way, so now let's enjoy the blessings. And the thought that we have this morning, and it will fall in line with that. It's fallen in line with just about everything else that's been done here. But chapter 8 of Romans chapter 8, and we'll start with the 10th verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 10. Sure, it will be very familiar reading to you. I may have read it here before, but this is what the Lord has laid upon our hearts. So this will be where we'll start our reading this morning. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. It says, "If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And that's our reading lesson this morning. But our thought would come from the 14th verse of Romans chapter 8, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And our thought, or our title, if we could put one on it this morning, would be "The Unseen Hand." And as I began to think about this, and as I began to think about what the Lord had laid upon our heart, and I guess the very first sermon that I ever preached here at Mount Calvary was "He is Alive." And I told you then that when Jesus Christ went back and descended back into heaven, that many people thought that he had died, that there was no more of him, that when they put him in the tomb, that was just it, that Christ was dead. But I believe this morning that we all know, and I believe if you're here this morning, I believe you know and understand that Christ is alive. And I believe that we know that when he descended back into heaven, that he left his Spirit for us. And I want you to know and understand this morning, if you've been saved by the grace of God, that when he saves your soul, there is a Spirit that he places within your heart. And I believe that Jesus Christ leads his children. I want you to know and understand this morning, I'm not one of those that believes that Jesus leads a lost person. I believe that God draws lost people to him, but I believe that he leads his children to do things. It says that for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I told you last week that the way that we could know that we've been saved is if God chastises us. That's very true. We can know that. But if God is leading you, and if he has ever led you to do anything, we can know by that and by his Spirit that we are the sons of God by his leadership. And I believe that God leads people. I believe that one of the first things that God ever leads someone to do is join his church. I believe that after someone is saved, I believe that he leads them to unite with a local body of baptized believers. And when I say that, I don't mean just anything that's out here in the world. I mean God's church. Because I believe that God's church is the church that has his Holy Spirit in it. I don't believe there's any other organization that has the leadership of the Holy Spirit like his church does. We know from our church covenant, it said, "Having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we do now in the presence of God in this assembly most solemnly and joyfully enter into this covenant with one another as one body as Christ." When we join ourselves with the body of Christ, we're led to do that. And I believe God leads his children to different churches. I believe he leads them to where he needs them most. I believe that God has a plan for every saved person. I believe that the church that you're a member of, they need you and they need you to help them out. Because I believe that if we've been saved, we have the Spirit and we have the leadership of God. When we have that, we have work to do. How do we know what to do? I believe that we're led to do those things. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now that tells me that when God leads us through his Spirit, that we're to do that. It says in verse 16, The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And a lot of times, we use that in the context of when we've met someone that is saved, that we can know that because our spirit will bear witness with their spirit. Well, I believe that that is very, very true. But I also believe that our spirit bears witness with the Lord's spirit. And I believe, as I told you last Sunday, that we can dismiss the leadership of the Lord. That's very easy for us to do. For some reason in our lives, it's very hard to follow the Lord. And I found that out a lot of times in my life. I found out that going out and running ahead of the Lord is a whole lot easier than staying behind Him and seeing where He's going to take me. But I've also found out in my life that when I really get behind the Lord and I'm submitting to His will, that my life is a whole lot better because He's leading me, because He knows the direction that I need to go. He knows where I need to be when I need to be there. There's some times that maybe God seems a little slow. God's not slow. I thought about when Mary and Martha's brother had died, Lazarus. You know, they were very upset that Jesus hadn't come when he died. They thought, surely after all these things that we've done for him, surely he could have come by and had some remarks. Surely he could have come by and seen Lazarus. He loved Lazarus, surely. And he loved us, surely he would have done something. But you know what? Jesus showed up just exactly when it was time. We sing a song from time to time, "Here Comes Jesus." Right on time. You know, God is always right on time. There's a lot of times in our lives when we can't see a foot in front of us. We have no idea where we're going. But when we're following the leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit, He knows exactly where we're going. He already knows where we're going and how to get there when we don't, because He's leading us. As I thought about the leadership of the Holy Spirit, I thought about Acts and chapter 8. Acts in chapter 8 in the 26th verse. And I have not used this text since it was the first time that I stood to preach at Pleasant Hill. But Philip and the eunuch. Acts chapter 8 verse 26. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest?" What this is saying and what's taking place here is we realize that Philip was traveling, and the Lord just told him. He said, you go down to Gaza, Jerusalem, and you go toward the south. And I want you to know, Philip may have been thinking, well, what am I supposed to be going down there for? He didn't know what his purpose was for going to the south. He didn't know and understand where God was taking him. I'm persuaded of that. But God, the Spirit of the Lord, spoke to him and said, you go to the south. And when he got down there, what happened? He met up with this Ethiopian eunuch. And I don't believe this eunuch was a saved person. I believe that he was sitting in his chariot and the Lord said, you go to that chariot and you speak to that eunuch. Now the Lord knew just exactly where the eunuch was going to be, and he knew just exactly where Philip was going to be. And you know what happened? They intersect when God intervened. But now Philip had said, I'm not going down there. This whole unit getting saved here in this chariot, this whole unit getting saved at this point wouldn't have happened when Philip hadn't followed the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know and understand that the leadership of God is very important. Not only is it for ourselves, but it's for everyone around us. When we follow the Holy Spirit, when we follow what God wants us to do, God will bless us. I want you to know and understand that blessings from God not only are things of this world, oh, but when you can follow the Lord and see the fruits of your labors and see a soul saved and born into the family of God, there is no greater blessing. There's nothing greater than hearing and seeing people be born into the family of God. When we follow God, they know there's something different. When this eunuch was talking to Philip,
He knew something was different about him. And I believe that Philip began to speak to him. And this eunuch, as we go on, I believe that he got saved through Philip talking to him, by Philip telling him what the Scripture said. And this eunuch goes down and he says, and Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart," this is what he was telling him about being saved. He says, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he was talking about, what can I do to be baptized? What must I do to be baptized? And Philip told him, he said, "If you would believe with all of your heart, if you would just get saved, then you could be baptized." People have baptism in the wrong order today. I don't believe baptism will save your soul. I believe the only way, and I may have told you this last week or the week before when I was preaching about the church, but I believe baptism is an outward showing of an inward change. It is what gets us into the church. It's what gets us into the church of the living God. That's what baptism is. It's not anything that washes away sins, because it can't do that. And I believe Philip tried to tell him that. I believe he let him know that he must be saved before baptism. And that's very true. It's still true today, and it won't change ever. But I believe that this eunuch got saved. And what did Philip do? He got the chance to go down and baptize this eunuch. Now, I want you to know and understand this morning, you might be thinking, "Well, I'm not a preacher, and I'm not a Philip, and I can't baptize anybody." And you're right. If an ordained minister is the only person that can baptize anyone, they have the authority from the church to baptize. But I want you to know and understand this morning what the importance of following the Lord is. I want you to realize, had Philip just said, "Lord, I'm not going down there. I have no purpose to be down there. This soul may have never been saved." And I want you to know, I'm not preaching that it's what we do that saves souls. That's not what happens. But when we follow the Lord and we do what God has asked us to do, I believe that Mount Calvary Church was established by people that had a burden for lost souls. Can you imagine if those people had never met the souls that might be on their way to hell today because they didn't have this church to go to? If all of our churches today said, "We give up. We're not following the Lord anymore. We're done. We're closing the doors and we're going home," there would be no hope for this world. There would be no hope without God's people following what He'd have for us to do. And I believe that wholeheartedly this morning. I believe that we must follow the Lord. And now I want to turn to Malachi in the third chapter. That's over in the Old Testament. And I want to talk to you about the blessings. I told you last week about the beatings that sometimes God has to give us when we don't follow Him. But I want to talk about something really good this morning. I want to talk about when God blesses us. Because I believe, as saved people, that God wants to bless His church. I believe He wants to bless His people. And as He was talking to them here, and we'll read from the sixth verse of Malachi chapter 3. And before you read this, and before I read this, and you think that you've elected me as your pastor, and the first Sunday I'm going to get down here and talk about money, please don't think that's where I'm going with this, because it's not. It does talk about the payment of tithes and giving to the Lord, but I want you to know, y'all could vote today to never give me another dime and I would still come back every single Sunday. The money does not matter to me. This was talking about something far more than money. It was talking about giving to the Lord. And I want you to know and understand this morning, God is the greatest paymaster that there ever has been. The blessings that God can give you are more than you can withstand. And if you'll just read with me from Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, I believe that He'll explain that to us. And it says, "For I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are you not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, Wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God, yet ye have robbed me? But ye say, Wherein have we robbed thee? And the answer is, In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." And I want to talk about a little bit about this, about will a man rob God? Have you ever had someone that wanted to do something for you and you wouldn't let them do it? They really wanted to do something for you and you just wouldn't willingly accept it. Well, you were robbing them of a blessing. If they had their heart on giving you something or doing something for you and you would not do it, I believe that those people, sometimes God leads them to allow them to do something for you. When God leads us to do something, you know what follows the leadership of the Lord? If He says, I want you to stand up and I want you to testify, I don't believe He's going to let you stand up and testify and then not bless you for it. Will you rob God of Him blessing you? I believe God wants to bless us. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that God truly wants to bless you, and I believe He wants to bless His church. And I believe that we need to not rob God of those blessings. And they said, have we robbed you? Have we taken anything from you? And He says, in tithes and offerings. I want you to know that I want to go far beyond all of that this morning. I want to go more into giving God our souls and our bodies. I want to go into the part where we give God our lives. Because He talks about in the New Testament, He says, take up your cross and follow Me. I believe that it is very important that we as God's church, that we as God's people, take His cross, take our cross, and we follow Him with that. I'm not talking about going out this afternoon, building you a cross and strapping it to your back. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about taking up His cause and following Him. I want you to know that when we give God everything we've got, and they would give those beautiful sacrifices in the Old Testament, and they were the best that God had, the best that those people had to give to God. Today, we've got to give God the best that we've got. We've got to start today as Mount Calvary Church. We've got to start today and give God the best of our lives, the best that we've got, the best of our time. We've got to spend those time praying and asking the Lord to intercede for us in our church. We've got to ask the Lord to bless us. We've got to ask the Lord to give us something to do. And when He does it, follow Him through it. Because it says, try Me. Try Me and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that the storehouses cannot contain those things. Have you ever been in those services where people just began to follow the Lord and you just seen people pop up? Somebody would get up. And I'm not talking about following emotions. I'm talking about following the Lord. Somebody would get up and they would ask a prayer request, or they would begin to testify about what God had done for them. And you can just tell that the Lord is in it. And then one after another, the Spirit begins to move around people. And things start happening like that. You want to know what people see in a church when that begins to happen? They see that the Spirit of God is there. And you want to know what happens when a church begins to get on fire for the Lord, and when people are following Him and they're leading and they're letting Him lead, they're letting Him direct the services, they're letting Him direct the paths of everything that we do. I believe that they begin to see spiritual blessings that they cannot contain, because when God begins to bless, He doesn't bless just a little bit. He blesses a whole lot, because I want you to know that we serve the greatest God there ever has been. He is through everything. He is everything that we have. He's everything we'll ever have. He's everything this world has. He can give us anything He wants to, but He wants us to be willing to follow Him. And I believe that through this, and I believe He was talking to Malachi, or Malachi was talking, and I believe He really wanted these people to know that they didn't need to rob God of the blessings that He had for them. I believe sometimes, and I want you to know today, that I have missed a lot of blessings. I have missed out on God being able to do things in my life because I wasn't willing to follow Him. I told yesterday at the ordination about running from the calling to preach for 3 years. There are so many blessings that I'm sure I missed in those 3 years that I can never get back. One of those blessings was my great-grandmother being able to go and hear me preach. She followed me. She loved me. I believe that she did. 3 years ago, if I'd have told it when I was 19, she would have been able to go. She had a good body. She was able to go and do what she wanted to. But one of the blessings I missed out on was her being in her right mind to come and hear me preach. Nanny loved her grandchildren, and she wanted to see them follow the Lord. You know, there's sometimes when there are people in the church that it's just a blessing to see them when they're there. You know, that's a blessing sometimes, and I miss that blessing because she passed away shortly after I told that I'd been called to preach. She wasn't able to go and do and be in church like she once was. That's a blessing that I can't get back. I missed out on that, but far greater than all of that is that maybe through the preaching of the cross that I was supposed to do, maybe there was somebody like that eunuch that I was supposed to see to, that I never will meet again, and I missed an opportunity to tell them about the Lord. Brothers and sisters, that blood will be required at my hands. And I believe that because I didn't follow the Lord. We talked about it in Sunday school, and that's where I'm going next. If you're here for Sunday school, you missed a great lesson on Joshua fighting the Battle of Jericho. And I want you to know and understand this morning, Brother Colin could have gotten up here and told you about Jericho and just preached my sermon for me this morning. Because what happened at Jericho was something that I believe that is a great picture of how we need to be in our lives and in our spiritual walk with the Lord. And if you'll turn with me over to the sixth chapter of the book of Jericho, and we'll start with the first verse. You know, I believe that Joshua was given some commands by the Lord, and they were direct instructions that must be followed. I believe that God does that. I believe He gives us direct instructions for our lives. And I believe there's sometimes that God gives them so clearly that we have no mistake for what they are. Start with the first verse, and it says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when they shall hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall send up every man straight before him." Now, what had happened here is we know that Joshua had sent spies to Jericho, and he met Rahab the harlot, and we talked about in Sunday school about her house being on the wall. And we talked about the faith that she had in believing that God, the Lord, had prepared this city for Joshua and the children of Israel. I believe that we know that she said that we have heard about what's going to happen. We have heard that God has found favor with you all. We've heard that the Lord is going to do this. And we get down here to the 6th chapter of Joshua, and the Lord tells Joshua, He says, "I see, these people are shut up within these walls. You see what I've done? I've put them all in there, and I've given you the city of Jericho. I told you I would do it. Now you see with your eyes that I've done this." But I believe if Joshua had just said, "Okay, you've given me the city of Jericho," and walked off, I don't believe that God would have given him the city of Jericho. I believe that there were specific instructions that must be followed in order for the city of Jericho to be conquered like it was. And I want you to know, as we think about what the Lord had asked Joshua to do, it may have seemed crazy, and we talked about that in Sunday school, but how sometimes the world might think we're a little crazy, and that's okay. They might think that us following the Lord, they might think us doing the things that we do, that might be a little crazy. They might think that what we're doing may be a little insane sometimes. People may call us with lunatics. They may think we've come down with lunacy. I don't know. Sometimes what we have to do in God's house may not always be what we want to do. It may not always seem like the easiest thing to do. But when God gives us something to do, we need to do it just exactly the way that God would have us to do it. But He told Joshua, He said, "For 6 days, I want you to take your band of army, and I want you to go around the walls of Jericho, and I want you to march with the ark, and I want you to blast the trumpet one time. I want you to just do this one time for 6 days." And we talked about how that those people may have looked out that first day and saw the army coming around, and they might have looked out and said, "Well, what have we got here?" What do we have here? We have all these people that are walking around our walls and they hear the trumpet sounding and then they leave. They knew what was coming, but maybe they thought, well, they've given up. They saw the walls and they realized they couldn't do this. And so, second day rolls around and they begin to walk around the wall again and they blast that trumpet and they leave. And we said, maybe again, they looked out and they thought, well, here they are again. They're back. They're back again. Look at these foolish people. They think that's going to knock our walls down. They think they're going to conquer us by doing that. Third day comes, and same thing. Fourth day comes, same thing. Fifth day comes, same thing. Same thing. Sixth day comes, same thing happens. And by the sixth day, I bet those people were sitting around, and they were going about their day, and they heard the trumpet sound, and they saw the people passing by, and they thought, well, they've done this the rest of the week, so I don't guess they're going to do anything today. And they went away again. People probably thought, well, they've probably finally given up. On the seventh day, the army returns. And what did the Lord tell Joshua? He said, you go around the walls of Jericho seven times. And on that seventh time, I want you to shout. Don't shout any of the other times. Be quiet. But keep that for the seventh time. On the seventh time, they've started out, and I want you to know, they probably got around that wall that first time, and people thought, well, they're fixing to head back. And then they started that second lap. I thought, well, they haven't done this before. Started on that third lap. Here they go again. Long about that seventh time they walked around the wall of Jericho, they got the command to shout. What happened when they shouted that time? The walls fell flat. Had they went around the wall three times on that third day, I don't believe anything would have happened. I don't know if you've ever seen a great big wall, but I don't believe a bunch of people shouting at it's going to make it fall. The only way that those walls fail were through the Lord. I want you to realize today this is a very good picture of our lives today, the way that we must worship. When God has something for us to do, no matter how silly, no matter how small, no matter what anybody else thinks it might be, we've got to do it. No matter how insignificant, we think that the things that God wants us to do is, there's a reason behind it. We can't always see the big picture. The army that was walking around, they probably were walking around this wall on those days and they thought, well, this is really silly. We're never going to accomplish anything like that. And the Lord had already told them what would happen. They already knew what the end was. They already knew they'd won the city. And maybe they still doubted. I don't know. It doesn't give us that record. We do a lot of times, I believe. We still doubt the Lord. God has already given us a clear definition of what's going to happen in our lives. And sometimes we still say, Lord, is that really going to happen? And God's still leading and God's still directing. But on that seventh day, oh, there was a great shout from those people. And I believe they shouted from the tops of their lungs. I believe they gave the greatest shout that they could. And those walls fell. When we follow the Lord, walls will fall around us. We can conquer anything if we will follow the Lord. I told you at the beginning of this that I like to run out before the Lord and try to do the work on my own. And that never works because I don't have the proper equipment. I don't know the lay of the land. I don't know all the enemies that are out there. But the one I'm following, he does. He knows how to make walls fall with people shouting. He knows how to break walls around here. This is Davidson County, Tennessee. People know about Nashville, Tennessee. They do. You talk about Nashville anywhere. I've heard of Nashville. We are in a great city. We are in a place where we have a great opportunity. And maybe people will look around us, and this church has been here since 1972, and maybe there's people that still haven't noticed. There's an old-time Missionary Baptist church that sits on Nolensville Road. Maybe they still don't know. Brothers and sisters, we're still here and we're still worshiping. And brothers and sisters, we're going to keep moving forward. But you know what we're going to do it by? We're not going to do it by you and I doing things on our own. We're going to follow the Lord. We're going to let God lead us in the things that we do. And brothers and sisters, when we do that, walls, I told you a few weeks ago about building walls. If we'll do what God wants us to do, we'll build those walls that the enemies of this world can't get in, they can't destroy. When we do that, God will bless us. Brothers and sisters, when we follow the Lord and we see a wall that we've got to break down, if we'll follow the Lord, that wall will crumble. And I want you to know that the leadership of the Lord is a blessed, blessed, blessed thing.
I have in my life failed God more than I have ever done anything for Him. I can remember when I first got saved, boy, I was just gung-ho, ready to fight the world. I believe I could have smacked the devil in the face and got it all over with. I believe I had that much about me. I believe I really thought that I could do those things. But as you get older and as you start to realize what salvation is and it grows sweeter, sometimes we lose the joy of it. Sometimes we forget what precious thing that we truly have. But we have the greatest thing there ever will be, the greatest thing that we can have on this side of eternity. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you've got it. You have the greatest weapon, the greatest tool that there ever will be. And God will bless you for the things that you do. God has never left His children hungry. God has never left His children without want. You may say that there have been times that people have struggled and been poor, but God has never left them destitute. God will always be with us. And I want you to know something this morning. If you're here today and you're up again and you're allowed to walk around and be free, even if you're lost, God has blessed you. I told you in Malachi, will a man rob God? Don't let God rob you of your blessings. The unseen hand that we have, I've never seen God's hand lead me along. But God's hand leads His dear children along. The title came to me, and I will close with this. The unseen hand. And I thought about how a lot of times in my life, I didn't know which way to go. And I've been standing at a crossroads, and I've looked out and I've seen what both sides have to offer. I've seen what's ahead of me. And I didn't know exactly where I was supposed to go. I would pray to the Lord, and maybe I wouldn't get an answer. Maybe I wouldn't know what really I was supposed to do, and that was on my part. I wasn't really praying like I needed to do. Brother Reynolds told us yesterday, pray until something happens or you get an answer. And a lot of times in my life, I started moving. And I didn't really realize what was going on, and there was just, you could feel that little push. Now, most of you, I'm sure, have had fathers that loved you, and they would push you to do things. They would come up behind you when you were scared, and they would push you along, and they would urge you to keep going and keep moving. And when you fall, they'd pick you up and dust you off and keep going. That's God's unseen hand. For as many as are led by the Holy Spirit are sons of God. Now, don't mistake that to say that there are no daughters, because there are. That's sons and daughters. I believe that that's what He's talking about. But He leads us along. In our life, when we see no other way, God is leading us with His unseen hand. When I will tell you this and then I will close. There are times in my life when I have been struggling with something and I've gotten in the car to go to work or go somewhere and begin to pray and talk to the Lord. And that's some of the best time to talk with the Lord is when you get in the car alone and there's nobody else around. And I've forgotten how I've gotten places because I really wasn't paying attention, but somehow I've ended up safely where I needed to be. I believe that that's God's unseen hand. I believe that when we talk to the Lord and we are in communion with Him, I believe He will lead us along and show us where to go, and I believe He'll be with us. Now this morning, we're going to do things a little different. I'd like for us to have prayer this morning, and then after that I'm going to open the doors of the church. And as we do that this morning, I want you to think about where the Lord would have you be. And I want everybody here to follow the Lord. And I want us to have prayer. And if God is leading you to unite with this church, I want you to do that. I want you to be willing to follow Him. If you've been saved, we're going to ask that when you join the church that you tell us about a time and a place where God has saved your soul. If God has saved your soul and you have a time and a place, that's good. You need to know about that before you can join the church. But let's have prayer this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Jeanette if he would to lead us in prayer, and then we'll open the doors of the church. Pray as the Lord would have you. But please, I'm begging you, for the sake of lost people, for the sake of this church, please, please follow the Lord. Brother Jeanette. This morning.